We got another offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We can commence our vandana puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena tena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati ita idang me kayo tata ti sasabhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of like. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Today, I think there's Adeline's daughter who is new. She is new to meditation, so I will give you some instruction on how to meditate. For those who really know how to meditate, please proceed. Then for those who still need instruction, you can just listen attentively. Just relax body and mind. Then make sure you have a stable and comfortable posture where you can remain in the meditative state, so that your body does not affect your meditation. So you cannot sit cross-legged. You can just sit on a chair or lean against something. Then you can try your leg cross-legged. You find initially too painful, then you have to endure a bit. Then later on, see how it goes. It should settle down as you relax into it. Like any posture, after a while, you become used to it. Then you can sit in the normal cross-legged posture. You don't have to go for full lotus or half lotus. You can just cross your leg in whatever manner. Then there is a tripod, the buttock, and the two support in front. So whichever point that has a stronger exertion of pressure, you can just balance it by relaxing body and mind and move your body either forward or backward. Get my wife to do it. Hong ah, le hong si le wo kui ah. Where is my wife? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that fan. I think it's too high, yeah? Not ventilating. Ah, okay, okay. It's okay. It's okay, leave it. My wife will handle it. Yeah. Ah, Chui is here. Yeah. We just about to start meditation. Come. Join us. Yeah. Okay. Now I'll continue with the meditation instruction. Yeah. Just relax body and mind. Feel yourself completely physically and mentally relaxed. Relax means no need to think about anything. Yeah. Then just whatever tired day that you have gone through, you allow your mind to rest or settle down. Then your body also relax. Like when you go for exercise, after you are very tired, you just relax the body. Or when you are going through some form of massage that make you very relaxed, you just relax into it and allow it to be natural. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Initially, I will teach you the mind sweeping method so that it can help you decondition your heedless thinking. You maintain attention at your forehead. You just feel your forehead. Feel, don't think, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax into every part of your forehead muscle. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Initially, you should sweep it to your eye muscle. Then do the same. Just feel. If there's any tension, tightness, or stress within, feel it soothingly, relax. Relax and relax. Relax all the eye muscle, especially the ciliary muscle. After a tired day, yeah, your eye is also tired, so you just let it rest. Then feel it soothingly, relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, layer by layer. As you feel, you relax into it. As you feel your facial muscle, relax into it. Until all your facial muscles are completely relaxed. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed. Then you can radiate loving kindness or metta to yourself to bring about inner peace, inner calmness. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel it, feel your entire body and mind, be well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, free from all mental and physical suffering. Feel it, feel that your entire body and mind is free of physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones. It can be your parents, your brothers, your sisters, or your good friend, good neighbor, and all those things. Somebody you have gratitude towards, or respect, or wish you value their relationship. May all my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this love. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without negativity of thought. May there be only love, peace and joy deep within their heart. Then you continue to radiate this love to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends or Kayamita who are here together, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta. May all beings within the whole Lord access to Putrajaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, then to all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then I will teach you another skillful means to stabilize this mind so that it can become more calm and more peaceful. We call it Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. This will help you anchor your mind to the breathing. The breathing is always within the moment. That's why when you can be mindful of the breathing, you will be with the moment in silent awareness without thought. That's how your meditation can develop. Okay, like you feel your forehead. Now you silence everything and feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Just relax. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Then because you maintain attention at your nostril there, the breathing, the moment you detect the breath, whether breathing in or breathing out, you just follow the mind, the awareness, and the breath moves as one. So like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Initially, if you are new, it may not be easy. The mind becomes heedless, it thinks a lot. Split second, it will run and you will not be able to be mindful of your breathing. Don't worry about what happened. If it's something that you have not trained before, if you are new to it, it's the tendency of the mind to be heedless, for the thought to wander off, for it to get entangled with other things. So whenever this mind wanders off from the breathing, you just patiently bring your attention back to the breathing and repeat or try the mindfulness again. Then if you are patient enough, not long, you will be able to develop the anapanasati, means you will be able to be mindful of your breathing. Breathing in, the awareness is with it, means breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Just continue. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back, repeat. Not long, as you train, you will become more skillful and you will be able to calm yourself down. Then when anapanasati takes shape, your mind will become different. It will become more calm and more peaceful. Because the mind that is in sati or mindful without thought is very peaceful and very calm. Then you can maintain this for a while, even a few minutes. You will experience a type of joy they call piti. Piti is a spiritual joy or spiritual calmness that comes with the training of the mind to be aware. Yeah. So this training of mind to be aware of your in and out breath, we call it anapanasati. It's a very good meditation technique to develop the meditation. Okay, I will let you continue with the training. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. For those who already know how to meditate, if you already have the spiritual faculty, Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, then technically you don't need to train. You can just relax and go into the meditation. Your mind will enter sati by itself. Then for those who already halfway through, maybe not stable yet, your spiritual faculty, you can develop the anapanasati and make it more stable. You should develop the anapanasati until there is little or no breath. Means your breaths have become very subtle. Until you can hardly feel the breathing. You reach that state, is a good sign that you have developed the meditation quite well and you are progressing correctly. Then what you should do is you should just silence everything and just allow your awareness to be at the breathing there. Even the breath become very subtle, like no movement. Just relax body and mind and stay there and maintain that awareness. Not long, your mind will enter sati. Then your mindfulness or sati will become more refined. Then you will be surprised. The subtle breathing will come back to you. So during that time, your meditation will become very different. You will become very sensitive and your mind is very, very stable. That mindfulness is very stable. Wherever you locate that mind, it can understand many things, it can feel many things. Okay, I will let you meditate, then I will ring the bell after about 9 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah. There are some offering items that came in later. I think we will make another round of offering. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, and turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We will chant the Pali version, page 6. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Veja carana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Japa. Vedang Pujami. Damang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can continue with our second session. Tonight will be the beginning of the first night of sharing by you all. We have Mimi and his son. Where is the boy? Boy? Yeah? Yeah. Where is your son? Oh, here. Come in. Come, I pass you the mic. Mimi. So you can lead. Come. Yeah, boy, come. Okay, yeah, you all can pay respect to the triple jam. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. You can use that one. Use this one to tip it. Come. Oh, no need, no need. Magnet on, this one magnet on. This one is very strong. Yeah. Here also got another magnet. You can use it to hold.
Testing. Testing.
The volume is there already, yeah.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. And thank you for giving me...
No, you have to speak through me.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi. Something wrong.
Testing. Can hear? Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, good evening, fellow Sky Amitas, and good evening, Brother Teo. Gan en to you.
Yeah.
Without you, I don't think I'll be able to share the Dharma. You are the first one that showed me the way.
Yeah.
Okay, and also gan en to the Triple Gem, which I have full faith and confidence in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Of course, to my family. And Chua Chong Ning. The reason being, I suggest that we have this Dharma sharing is mainly because if you will learn to share the Dharma, you will take the time and initiative to actually look at the Dharma in different dimension. Normally when we read or when you attend a class, you will just listen and probably do some homework or don't do it at all and forget about it. So this is kind of difficult. If you continue to do like that, your cultivation will never be able to progress. So this is one exercise that when your chance or your turn to do it, you have no choice but to do it, and then you will probably choose your kawan-kawan or rakan-rakan who you want to do with, and then look at it in a different, look at the Dharma in whatever dimensions that you are able to see and present. Don't worry, there's no good or bad presentation. Just do it with your own pace, your level of understanding, and how you understand the Dharma. Because in cultivation, there's no good and bad. It's only your kiasu, egoic self tell you that you are no good or bad. So you should look at it and approach it that way. So today, my sharing with me and Chua Chung Lin, we will do a little bit of the recap, and we will start off with the Buddha and his enlightenment. Okay, so Chung Lin, you can actually put up this paper now.
Yeah, I can help you, don't worry. Your mommy can speak. Don't worry, come. Nothing. Yeah. This magnet. Okay. Yeah, turn it out. Oh, very good. Sado.
This is how we are going to do our presentation. We'll talk about the Buddha and his enlightenment. And I will start with this. Then, as you know, the Buddha enlightenment got 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So, Chung Lin will do the first week, second week. I will do the third week, the fourth week. Then it goes back to him. He will do the fifth and sixth. And I wrapped up with the seventh week. Before I go into the weeks, when Buddha, he gained his enlightenment, then I will go through a recap. Actually, Buddha, he born as Prince Siddhartha. It's just like all of us. We are born as with a form and a mind and a person, except he's a prince, we are just normal people. So he as a prince and us is nothing, not much of different. We have the form and the mind, and then except he is a prince. Because probably his blessing and merits is very good, that's why he born as a prince. So when he was a prince, he was having good time, but eventually something in him, in his nature, want to find the truth. That's why he leads on to search for the truth. So, and he had went through many teachers like we all. We go through many teachers and learn the Buddha Dharma. That's why getting to know the right teacher and showing you the way to realize truth is very important. That's why here, if you have found the right teacher, you should have the gratitude towards his nature. Because it's not easy to find the right one. Just like Buddha, he has actually attained the highest level of the 8 jhanas, and yet he cannot find the answer. And he realized there's something that he has to awaken. And there's nobody at that time can tell him. So he got no choice. He went to his own way and he tried asceticism. And then he realized also that cannot bring him anywhere. So he went back to do the meditation that he beginning to remember that when he was 7 years old, he was underneath the apple tree. He was having the first level of jhana where his mind was very silent, and he's able to see all the mind within himself, and that is a perfect state. That means he is in a perfect sati or silent mind. Then he realized, why don't I try this? So that's how he went into the Bodhi tree. Of course, before that, somebody offered him the milk rice, Sujata. You all know about it because Brother already have explained. So, when he was in the Bodhi tree sitting, doing his contemplative understanding, so this is where he gained the enlightenment. And then the enlightenment is first week to the 7th week. Then he become a Buddha. Okay, now. Because our teaching is the Buddha and his enlightenment. We are going to talk about his enlightenment the 7th week. The Buddha. Do you know how to define a Buddha? And who is a Buddha? Because because your teaching here is the Buddha and his teaching. Do you really understand or know who is the Buddha? Anybody want to try? Okay, never mind. Buddha is a person that is fully awakened one. Awakened of what? Awakened of he has the full understanding and have the self-realizations of the truth. Understanding and self-realization. Why self-realization? Self-realization is something that nobody ever taught you. That's why he cannot find any teacher to show him the way. He has to realize it himself. That is self-realization. Or Tathagata Gaba is all about self-realization. If you are familiar with the Tibetan cultivation. So it's all about self-realization. Realize about what? Of the truth. Truth. When we talk about truth, there are two types of truth we are talking about. The mundane reality and the supramundane. That's why Buddha is so precious and he arrives during this sasana for all of us to be in his sasana. To realize the truth, mundane itself is not easy. You're talking about supramundane also. That's why we should count our lucky star that we come to in contact with the Buddha Dharma with the right teaching. See? That's why I've explained from Siddhartha, attainment of enlightenment, and how from the 7 week he become a Buddha. So now you have a clear understanding of why Buddha is so unique. And he is one of the wisest and the most precious human being ever born on this earth. If you have done your cultivation well, when you bow to him, sometimes you will have tears rolling down your cheek because you 真是很感恩 他的 nature. Okay? Because he's later, when Brother Teo go through all his teaching, you'll realize how important you have get to know this teaching. So now, attainment of the enlightenment. So, the enlightenment go through, if you all have went to the pilgrimage, you all will understand all the holy site. Then they'll tell you where and where, the first week, second week, third week. Okay? And I went through the photograph, which I go to 003, and I try to put myself before I do this exercise. So for the first week, I pass on to Chung Lim. I let him do the first week and the second week. Chung Lim, please.
Hello, hello. Okay, before I start, I want to send my gratitude to Brother Teo, my mom, and Lord Buddha. So this week I'm doing the presentation for the first week and the whole thing. So I did my research about it. So I feel that Lord Buddha is a very wise man. So without his teaching, I think I won't understand or won't be free from suffering. So during the first week, Buddha realized and penetrated the dependent of origination. So to understand dependent of origination, first, you must understand in our mind, I mean, our form, we have two minds. First, we have the super mundane mind, or you call it the silent mind. The second mind will be the egoic mind or the mundane mind. So, first week, Buddha penetrated the dependent origination, means he penetrated the mundane mind. So, in the mundane mind, there are 12 links. I don't know where's the link.
Link.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, okay. The 12 links are in the book. So, during first week, there's three watches. The first watch, second watch, and third watch. The first watch, the Buddha can see it penetrated and realize the 12 links. So, he see it in the direct order. Means from ignorance, leads to all the birth of suffering.
Yeah.
So when he penetrated the dependent origination, he can see his past life. All his past life. Not only that.
have a drink first. Your throat is dry. Yeah.
Sorry about you.
Yeah.
So in the first week, he can see all his past life.
Okay. Yeah, recollection of all his past life.
You know why he can see all his past life? Because he has penetrated it, and he can see how his past life. Why he keep reborning and reborning and reborning and reborning? So by seeing all his past life, you know that thought itself. If you have the evil root inside, once you come out from the thought, and you have the ignorance to think the thought is real. Then you create bad karma already. Therefore, by creating so much bad karma, you don't understand that the mind is not real, means that it's non-self, it's non-self, and you keep reborning and reborning and reborning, you're stuck in this samsara forever if you have don't penetrated the non-self. Okay, so the second week, second watch, the Buddha watch it. Watch the 12 dependent origination in the reverse order. By doing so, he have attained the celestial and divine eye, and they call it Nirodha, right? Okay. But the third watch, the Buddha can see the dependent origination in any angle, back, forward, any angle, all aspect, because the 12 dependent origination is not rigid. You can see it in any dimension you want. Therefore, the Mara cannot. How the Mara trick you by using your mundane mind? How they trick you? You also won't be tricked because you know the mundane mind is not real and everything you come out is not real. That's what my understanding about the dependent first week.
Yeah, very good.
So to come to the second week. Second week, Buddha profound gratitude towards the inimit Bodhi tree. My understanding about this second week is, see, Buddha is such a highly cultivated man. He is so highly cultivated, but he still pray gratitude to a tree. The tree that cannot give you no response. There's a tree. But see, now human life, more like me or like I see my friends, they have no gratitude towards a loved one. You know, loved one, they can at least respond to you. That you will pray gratitude, you say thank you, but a tree, they can't do much. So, see, such a highly cultivated man can break down his ego to pray, have the gratitude to a tree, because the tree shelter him until he gained enlightenment. But for us, even our parents, sometimes we also don't pay gratitude. That's why I see that's why something wrong isn't. That's why something wrong. That's why I see. Hey, Mom, pass to you.
Yeah, sadhu, let us rejoice.
Thank you, Chunling. Okay, I'll add on a little bit. The first week, dependent origination. I think this is the most important teaching in the Buddha teaching. If you're not able to see how your mind works, you can actually cultivate. In order, the prerequisites of seeing how your mind works, seeing through the dependent origination, the first prerequisite ingredient is sati. That's why if you don't have sati, don't think about starting your cultivation. That's why it's very clear, dependent origination. Krishnamurti say, self-knowing. You don't have sati, you don't know, you cannot see how your mind functions. You cannot see how your mind plays tricks with you. So how to see is only through sati. If your sati is stable, it accumulates to become appamada. That's why Prabhupada has been always talking about try to develop your silent mind. This is the prerequisite in your first step of cultivation. If you don't have that, you ask yourself why you don't have that. Then you do something about it. In your cultivation. Talking about gratitude, I got a lot of friends tell me they cannot even feel the gratitude towards the Buddha, but they've been in the circuit, Buddhist circuit, for so many years. Why they cannot have that? If you don't see the Buddha Dharma, it through your sati, it's very hard to develop this profound gratitude. But once you see the Buddha Dharma, I tell you, you meet a wise teacher, you bow to the Triple Gem, or even all wise being that is in the conscious form, you really have full gratitude towards their nature. So that's the way you cultivate. So you don't have a high level of gratitude, that means your cultivation is somewhere is missing. That's why I want to add on to that. Okay, the third week. Actually, when I was looking through the book that Brother Teo loaned it to me, I find that how come Buddha don't do much things on the third week and certain weeks. That book actually say he got some psychic ability to something. When I was reflecting on that, actually something come into it. It's not in the book actually. So this is mainly on my own sharing, okay? After the attainments of Buddhahood, he used his psychic power. You see? To what? He used his psychic power to proclaim his Dharma to the Bodhisattvas, to the spirits and celestial beings. Because this one tie in with the Flower Adornment Sutra. Actually, he didn't leave the ground of his enlightenment, but he was there at the Sakha, Mount Sumeru, and he actually, because you see, you have to understand, this is a bit difficult to understand for those people that have, you see, once you gain enlightenment, a Sammasam Buddha, actually the whole world shake, because it's rare is to have a Sammasam Buddha awaken. So actually all the Bodhisattvas, the celestial beings and spirits, they all know one. That's why in that book he say there is a celestial being doubt Buddha's enlightenment. Actually he probably talked to him, and that's where he went on to the Sakawa, that is Yok Wong Dai Dai, that were to preach Flower Adornment Sutra. And then there, his radiance pervade the Dharma realm equally. That means this is his Buddha land, but he can also radiate all his radiance to all Buddha lands. This is what I'm trying to explain. Then, the third week after that, he did walking meditation. If you have been to Bogaya, you will see beside Bogaya there are steps. This is where they say Buddha did walking meditation. Then the fourth week, his nature ponder on patana, conditions, relations. Here, they talk about, in that book, it talks about Abhidharma. In my understanding, Abhidharma does not come into being only after the second Buddhist council, that is 1,500 years later. So that means Abhidharma should not be here. 120, yeah? 100, 150 or 1,500? Cannot be 1,005, because after 500 years only the first council is when he died, not long, then after that is 150. So it cannot be Abhidharma here. So what is Patana? Patana is condition relation. So this is something that something happens, it happens. Just like the day brother Teo, something is of a cause to arise, it needs to the other one to arise. So this one is a very big topic actually. So if you want to know, you go and search under Abhidhamma Patthana. I tried. But I can sum it up in one word, is investigation into the ultimate nature of all dharmas in the universe. It's talking about the mundane and the supramundane, how it comes about and all these things. So if you want to know, it's a very big subject. So now, I will pass back to Chong Lin for the 5th and the 6th week. Chong Lin?
Okay, the 5th week. 5th week, someone, Brahma questioned the Buddha, how to become a cultivator. So the Buddha answered him, first, you need to discard evil. And how to discard evil is to be, that's to understand there is non-self, there is no self. When you understand non-self, then only you can discard evil. What is non-self? If, how do I explain?
The anatta nature, the non-self nature. Yeah.
Okay, when you see the non-self, because normally human being, they thought there's a self in you, your egoic.
There is the delusion, self-delusion.
Self-delusion. Yeah. To me, egoic inside, they have three things: greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah. So, in order for you to break your self, to break to see non-self, you must break through the egoic self. Once you break through it, if the wisdom to see it, then you will realize truth. So, once you realize truth, anything that any bad thoughts or what thought, you can just see it and just seize it and just stop it. And see it and just stop it straight away. And after that, Buddha also tell him how by using the Eightfold Path, you can lead a holy life. That's what I understand about it. See, during the 6th week, Buddha was meditating beside a river. Suddenly, there's a huge thunderstorm come. Then this one big snake coil around him and protect him from the storm. So the, after the storm, Buddha teach the serpent king. The serpent is the serpent king. How to be contented. Okay, sorry. How to cultivate?
After the Naga king protected him from the storm, and he manifests himself into a young Samanera. And then Buddha actually teach him. He's teaching to the Naga. He is called Naga Muskalinda. So he actually expounded the teaching to him. He said, in order for you to cultivate, first of all, you must be contented. Number two, you must have the condition and ability to hear truth. That means get the right teacher to tell you right teaching. See truth. See truth means realization, direct seeing. You see it yourself. Cultivations is all about test drive and do it yourself by seeing and understanding it yourself. Then restraint towards all beings. So whenever you deal with any people or any kayamitas, you got to restrain yourself. You know, if you have sati, you are able to see the good part of yourself and the negative part of yourself. So this is where you throw off your garbage, just that you will realize this is where the journey of self-knowing. Later, when you do all this, you are able to see why your kayamitas are like that. Where are they coming from? Once you reach that level, you will have no non-duality. You will embrace them as what they are. If there's condition, then you will do whatever is necessary. No condition, you just leave it be. But your mind is not agitated. That's where restraint towards all beings. Then the next one is you've got to transcend all your senses, your five senses, because delusions come in from all our five senses. So if you do the dependent origination, you are very well versed with the direct and the reverse. You do all this, you will understand all this very well. Of course, the last one is once you are able to do all this, if you can transcend the non-self, I sadhu to you, that is the first great step into true cultivation. That is sakkaya ditti. You are able to see the unreality of self. That is very important. If you want to progress in your cultivation, you must be able to do that. So now it's only how you are able to attain to this level. You got to ask yourself. If you're able to do that, that is the first stage of sainthood. And of course, you will have this conceit very much reduced down. Because cultivation, I tell you, the conceit, the ego, is the biggest stumbling block for a lot of people. When you have sati, you're able to see whether in what level, what degree, whether it's gross, refined, and subtle. You got to find out yourself. You see? And if you're able to do that, that will give you the highest happiness. Happiness in the mundane level. So you will not be very much bothered by what is going wrong around you. Because inside okay, outside everything okay. If inside not okay, outside everything not okay. That is Brother Teo's teacher tell him, Achan Yantra. Okay? So this is where when you see the Buddha Dharma, you will make sense whatever your teacher tell you. Don't attach with words. Don't attach with language. Understand the essence. If you attach to words, attach to language, then you will take quite a while to really see the essence of the Buddha Dharma. Okay? So now, we go to the last week. That is the seventh week. Under the Rajayatana tree, when Buddha is relaxing, you see, and he's enjoying his vimutti sukha, that is emancipation of the bliss, you know, he actually didn't eat for 49 days. And then that bliss himself is actually fill him up. But when he was at the 7th week under this tree, Rajayatana tree, there's two merchants by the name of Tapasu Baluka. These two is a merchant, then they are the first one that offer alms to Buddha. And that is his first meal. And these two merchants is the first disciple of Lord Buddha. Okay? Then, that week itself, he make a very famous utterance. So, he says something. One of the first utterance from the Buddha after his enlightenment from the 1st week to the 7th. He did say things, but on the 7th week, this is what he say. Through many above in existence, I wander, seeking but not finding, the builder of this house. Sorrowful is repeated birth. O house builder, thou art sea. Thou shalt build no house again. All thy rafter are broken. Thy rich pole is shattered. Mine attain the unconditioned. Achieve is the end of craving. This saying is very, very profound. You can see in two ways. It's the mundane and the supramundane. It depends on your level of cultivation. Okay? So basically, in a nutshell is, this is actually once you realize and have realized the supreme attainment of Buddhahood, that is perfect and complete. The Mandarin people like to use 圆满, 福报. Okay? So, this birth of the Buddha form and mind will be the last form that he is going to take. So, when he's parinibbana, he will not have, because he got no more craving, no more whatsoever. And of course, to be very frank to you, from Prince Siddhartha to Buddha, when he's born here, he's actually probably at the 9 or the 8-9 level of bodhisattvahood. He actually understood all these things. But for the love and compassion for mankind, people like you and me born in this Saha world, he just want to take a birth and show to sentient being or human being how you can be a normal putujana with cultivation, you can actually gain enlightenment. But of course, in whatever level of enlightenment, depend on your level of cultivation. So this is to 做一场戏给你们看. This is a very good example for all of us and to give us the faith, the confidence in our cultivation. So, in the conclusion, Chung-in, can you help me to take down this?
The mic, yeah? You don't point it down like that. Your face.
That's why understanding who the Buddha is very important. Understanding his doctrines, that means his teaching, is very important. But as Kayamita cultivator, always remember, you know this, but you 不要做功课, 不要 do anything. Actually, you are lacking the most important part in your spiritual goal or spiritual path. What is that? The path is called cultivation. Having to know him, you have gratitude but not strong. Knowing his teaching, but you don't analyze and see in different dimension. You only look at it one dimension or two dimension, depending on your maturity of your cultivation. Then you never, whatever dimension that you understand, you never put in cultivation, practice. How can you have your spiritual growth, you ask yourself. You see? So why I'm sharing it in this way is, number one, learning to stand up here to speak the Buddha Dharma is one of the perfection that you have to do if you all want to be a bodhisattva. Learning eloquent to deliver the Dharma in numerous approach. That's one thing, right? All of us is taking the bodhisattva path. Then number two, if you don't understand the Dharma, you don't test drive the Buddha Dharma, how can you share? This is how all of us should walk together and cultivate together. In cultivation, there's nothing that you are better than me or I'm better than you. Don't have this mundane, egoic self that blocks you. You know, we can all learn from all your kayamitas, all the kayamitas. So with that, I remember Padmasuri, that song, Pei Ni Tao Tian Ya.
Sadhu.
So, today we are together is our affinity. So, 我们要珍惜这个 affinity. So, we all move together and progress together. You will never know. One of these days, any one of us can be a Sammasam Buddha. Then all of us will arise together to help each other or to be his first line disciple or second line disciple. So this is how a cultivator should have this kind of mind to cultivate. With that, I hope I have inspired
sadhu,
you.
Sadhu. Very good. Sadhu, okay. Sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Pratya.
Yeah, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Very good try, and they have done well. That's why you prepare a bit, you will understand. You say, what you need to do is, I will go through the book with you, then you will understand what they're trying to tell you. Otherwise, unless you have read out earlier on, before, you may not follow much of what they have researched and add on to all the sharing. So I will go through with you, then you can have a better understanding. Page 47. Say, according to Mimi and Chong Lim, they say, after the Buddha has realized his supreme enlightenment, then there was a description of how he spent his first 7 weeks. According to the text, he didn't eat anything for 7 weeks, 49 days. Maybe like Mimi say, he has this vimutti realization, so that emancipation, the pure energy that come from that enlightenment was able to sustain the physical form. Then the mind has reached such a level of purity. Okay, just a small correction. It's not after the 7 weeks only he became Sammasambuddha. He was already a Sammasambuddha. Then after that, that's why you read page 46. From the first paragraph, the last two sentences. Oh, you don't have the book. Oh, chapter 4. chapter 4. Oh, yours is a different version. Photostat, I know. And last year. Chapter 4. 3. The first paragraph. The last two lines. Oh, the last 4 lines, I think. This substantial meal he ate, and after his enlightenment, see, the Buddha fasted for 7 weeks. So after he took the milk rice from that lady Sujata, then he sat underneath the Bodhi tree, then he realized full enlightenment. Then here he described, after his enlightenment, the Buddha fasted for 7 weeks and spent a quiet time in deep, they say, contemplation underneath the Bodhi tree and its vicinity. Although here they put neighborhood, vicinity means surrounding. So the first week, like what we went through last Tuesday, throughout the first week, the Buddha sat underneath the Bodhi tree in one posture, experiencing the bliss of emancipation, vimutti, sukha. So this one we have gone through. Means he went into that state of cessation called nibbana. But this one, they use the word bliss of emancipation. The Pali word is more accurate, vimutti. Vimutti is liberation of mind. That's how you enter cessation, you realize nibbana. But the word sukha is a different meaning. It's not the ordinary conditioned world's mind state of sukha or bliss.
That's why they translate as the bliss of emancipation. Who can remember my explanation last Tuesday? Why did they use this word, sukang or sukha? There is another description on Nibbana. They say Nibbana, paramang sukang, the highest peace or the highest joy. Nobody can remember. You see, when you realize Nibbana is not a being inside there, where there is no being, it's just the form a mind sees. Means the mind, the mundane mind, realizes itself and sees. Then it realizes its unreality, then it connects to the nature. Then the experience of Nibbana is the complete cessation of form and mind. So there is nothing inside there. You cannot describe at all. Then how can there be bliss? Here the meaning is very deep, because the Buddha's meaning is there is nothing more like blissful and joyful than Nibbana. Where Nibbana, when it's realized, is the complete cessation, means your mundane mind doesn't arise at all. There is no movement at all, even pure awareness, everything ceases. That's why there is complete cessation, means there is nothing to create suffering, misery, or any arising. That's why if you look at the way suffering is being defined, you know how they define it. The cause of suffering is what? What is the cause of suffering? Of course, attachment. But attachment comes from what? Your craving, your desire, born of delusion or ignorance. That's why wherever there is craving, whether positive or negative, it is still suffering. You understand? So if it's blissful, wonderful, or whatever, it is still a craving. It is still suffering. That's why this is a comparison word. Compare to all the mind state that can arise, even the highest bliss, the highest jhanic stillness or whatever, that one still has something there. Still can give rise to a mind state which can bring about movement, agitation. That's the reason why the Buddha, when he became fully enlightened, when he realized that Nibbana state of realization is not a mind state, when he realized Nibbana, when true cessation of form and mind, he uttered this word, Nibbana paramang sukang, is the highest peace, highest mind state that can possibly be. So that's why he say vimutti sukang, or vimutti sukang. Vimutti is liberation of mind, enlightenment. When you have that realization, that enlightenment, that is the most joyful and the most peaceful state. So this is what he did. And he went through that so-called Nibbana experience for 7 days. So the next paragraph, after those 7 days has lapsed, the Buddha emerged from that state. It's not concentration. From that state of Nibbana. And in the first watch of the night, thoroughly reflect on the dependent origination, Paticchasamuppada, in its direct order which we have gone through, starting from ignorant, avijja paccaya sankhara, then sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarupam, then namarupam paccaya salayatana, then because of the sense basis salayatana, there is contact, which is pasat, then dependent on contact, you have feeling, which is vedana, then dependent on feeling, you have craving, which is tanha, then it continue to upadana, which is grasping, then after that, you become that thing, bhava,
then dependent on bhava, becoming, there is birth, jati, and because of birth, it arises the whole mess of suffering. So this is the direct order. So you turn to page 47, we were there last Tuesday, we finished the last line. Thus does this whole mess of suffering originate. So this is the arising cycle. Thereupon, the Exalted One, which is the Buddha, knowing the meaning of this, uttered at that time the paean of joy. When indeed the truth become manifest out to the strenuous meditative Brahmana, then do all his doubt vanish away, since he know the truth together with his cause. Means he know the cause of arising or suffering. He know what suffering is. He know how suffering can cease. And he know the way to cease suffering. That's how he confirmed. Because after his enlightenment, he would like to reflect, contemplate, and see for himself how that enlightenment can come to be. It's only the enlightened one can tell you, but they have to use word, understand not. What they have realized is beyond word. So in the same way, the Buddha uttered this paean of joy. So I read again, you try to gather the understanding. When indeed the truth, which is the Dhamma that the Buddha has proclaimed, become manifest out to the strenuous and meditative Brahmana. What is the meditative Brahmana? Constantly meditative, ever mindful. Strenuous is ever mindful. Then do all his doubt vanish, means all his ignorant delusion gone. Since he know the truth together with his causes, the truth about suffering, the noble truth about suffering, the cause of his arising, his cessation, and the path that lead to the cessation. Then in the middle watch of the night, the Exalted One thoroughly reflected on the dependent origination in reverse order. That's how he came to know. So the dependent arising in reverse order. Thus, when this causes does not exist, this effect is not. With the cessation of this cause, this effect ceases. This one is the dependent originating. Then dependent ceasing. That's why they call it the reverse cycle. Instead of the arising cycle that give rise to the whole mess of suffering from ignorance, now with the cessation of ignorance, all the other links cease. That's why it's called the cessation cycle. So I read on quickly. With the cessation of ignorance, here he says condition activity, actually sankhara, mental activity. Sankhara ceases. Then with the cessation of sankhara, consciousness ceases. Then here he used relinking consciousness. It's not relinking consciousness, it's the real consciousness. Then when consciousness ceases, there can be no more fire aggregate of form and mind, the mental fire aggregate. Then with the cessation of the mental fire aggregate, sense basis cannot arise. That's why in the realization of Nibbana, there is no contact, nothing. The sense bases are there in the physical form, but no use. That's not. It cannot arise. That's why it ceases. Then with the cessation of sense bases, contact also ceases. Then when contact ceases, feeling also ceases. Then when feeling ceases, craving ceases. When craving ceases, grasping or upadana ceases. Then with the cessation of grasping, becoming ceases. Then with the cessation of becoming, birth ceases. With the cessation of birth, old age, sickness and death, sorrow, lamentation, grief and despair cease. That's why the whole mess of suffering cease. Thus does the whole mess of suffering cease. Thereupon the Exalted One, knowing the meaning of this, uttered at that time this paean of joy again. When indeed the truth become manifest out to the strenuous and meditative Brahmana, exactly like just now, then all his doubt vanish away, since he has understood the destruction of the causes. Then in the third watch of the night, the Exalted One reflected on the dependent arising in direct and reverse order thus. When this cause exists, this effect is. With the arising of this cause, this effect arises. With this cause, when this cause does not arise or exist, this effect is not. With the cessation of this cause, this effect ceases. Then, dependent on ignorance, arises all these things, and so forth. So it's exactly like Chong Lim said, he contemplated and reflected on the dependent origination, arising cycle, and reverse cessation cycle. Then he can actually understand it completely, because sometimes the whole dependent origination doesn't complete. Like I say, it's multidimensional, it's not single dimensional. When you awaken to it, you will know, because your wisdom connected to this form of mind, then it can see how dependent originating this particular samuppada arise and pass away. Sometimes the link is not complete, but the first link is very, very powerful, very frequent. Avijja, avijja, avijja paccaya sankhara, keep on arising. That's why the non-enlightened one, the Puttujana, the Buddha say, you have a lot of sankhara, you think a lot, because you have ignorance. So now you understand why the unenlightened one think a lot, very heedless, the mundane mind very active. And what I like was, Chong Lim pointed out two or three very important points about cultivation, how to break sakkayadity, non-self, how to realize that. Then to realize that, you must come to the understanding that there are two minds inside you. One is the mundane mind, then the other one is the what they call supramundane or the true mind. This is the first time Chong Lim is doing it. That's why he will have this, like, he asked the monk, you take over, you continue. Because he is still new. You give him some time, and he will do very well. And Mimi also will do very well. Because this is what I want you to try. If you don't try, you don't prepare, you don't do your own research and homework. When you do your own research and homework, you don't believe me. Next time your turn come, you can come and share your experience with me. It really make a big difference, because you are forced to do research. You are forced to go to the internet and find out more, so that you can share beyond what the book has written. And what the book has written is in fact very good, because this is a summarized teaching. So they went to the internet, they complimented it, they researched into it, and they came out with their own understanding, which is very good. Even Mimi on is very good. And he tried to share with you all the importance of cultivation. That is a very good advice from Mimi. You all just, maybe not all, some of you, you just take the theory, take the teaching, but you never put in the cultivation. That's why it's not easy to have that understanding, that realization. But it will come. Then, like you said, like she said, this teaching is so beautiful. When you come to understand its beauty, you will have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha, and your great respect for him. He is such a great being. His teaching is so wonderful. Then this is the teaching that can bring forth not only the self-awakening of the individual, it can bring forth the complete cultivation leading to the perfection of all great virtues and wisdom. Finally, attaining complete Sammasambuddhahood. Means you not only enlightened, you become fully enlightened. And like Mimi said, if you walk this way later on, you must penetrate all Dhamma and able to teach in whatever manner, whatever form. So all these are very beautiful sharing. So hopefully the mother and son inspired you all, the team, so that you all can have faith. We haven't chosen the next Tuesday one yet, so you still have a chance. You can volunteer, that is the best. After, remind me, 10, 20, we get you all to volunteer, or otherwise we will nominate somebody. Okay, second week. Oh, sorry, the first week haven't finished. A bit more to go. Thereupon, the Blessed One, knowing the meaning of this, uttered at that time the paean of joy. Oh, this is the same, except it has a added part. When indeed the truth became manifest out to the strenuous and meditative Brahmana, then he stand routing the host of the evil ones, even as the sun illuminate the sky. So all this Mara or whatever, they got no power over you. Then we go to the second week. Second week was uneventful. This is what the Buddha said. The commentary of the author. It's not uneventful. They cannot understand. But just now Chong Lim also say, normal human being cannot understand. For a whole week, what did the Buddha do? He grazed at the Bodhi tree. With what? Deep gratitude. Gratitude you can express very fast, isn't it, for normal human being. Why the Buddha spent 1 week looking at the Bodhi tree? If you read through this short sharing, you will know. The second week was, the author will say, uneventful, but forget about it. But he silently taught a great moral lesson to the world. As a mark of profound gratitude to the inanimate, means you don't express gratitude to a living being. You express it to a living thing, which is a tree, the Bodhi tree. See, the word is that shelter him during his struggle for enlightenment. And that is very important. He stood at a certain distance, grazing at the tree with motionless eye for one whole week. Then you look at the note one. On the spot where the Buddha stood, a chaitya has been erected by King Asoka. This was named Animissa Lokana Chaitya and is still to be seen there. And note two. The right hand branch of the original Bodhi tree, which was brought to Ceylon by Sanghamitta Thera, and planted by King Deva Nampiyatissa at Anuradhapura, the ancient capital of Ceylon or Sri Lanka, still exists in a flourishing condition, though more than 2,200 years old. So that Bodhi tree is still there, very old. Definitely, they took the branch and transplanted there. It seems this Sangha, you know who is this Sanghamitta? The Thera, the famous Arahant Mahinda, Arahant Mahinda and Sanghamitta. These two. One is a lady Arahant, the other one is the Mahinda, is a man Arahant. So they were from Sri Lanka. That's why they're very passionate about the Bodhi tree. Motionless. Pass the mic. Pass the mic to Yun Chan. Motionless. You know how he did it? You know how he did it? Because his deep
gratitude. When you are in deep gratitude, you can just stand grace. I remember after what happened in 1989, I got so much gratitude. The first one I think of was Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's why I just grace at Kuan Yin. Then the image came. Then I came out of it because I knew that was the message to me that she saved my life while I was a young kid at the age of 8, I think, swimming in the river. That whole vision with the basketball flowing back to me came out from the statue. And that was 27 years later, at the age of 8. 1989, I was exactly 35 years old. I have long forgotten the incident. But when I was having this gratitude and all those things, I was grazing motion, didn't move at all. There was so much gratitude and joy, silent. Then suddenly that vision came. When I was young, swimming that time, the basketball came back to me. And with joy, I held on to the basketball. Then my nature at that time just knew somebody helped me. I don't know who until that moment. That's why after that I just knelt down, expressed profuse gratitude and thank. That's why I knew why this life I did the same. Ask for blessing, protection and guidance. Nobody taught me, express gratitude towards Kuan Yin for her protection, for her guidance and her blessing. Then know how to request someone for Kuan Yin's nature to continue to bless, protect and guide this nature of mine until full realization of Sama Samudha. You know how to do that type of vow, very funny. I also don't know. Until when 1989 the vision come, then everything become clear. Okay, we go on to the third week. As the Buddha had not given up his temporary residence at the Bodhi tree, the Deva doubted. This part, did they share or not just now? They didn't share this one. No, this is not the Samasambuddha has Dao. It's the Devas. Deva has Dao. The Deva doubted his attainment or realization of Buddhahood. Then the Buddha can read their thoughts or their thinking. And in order to clear their doubt, he created via his pure psychic a jewel ambulatory. In Pali it's called Ratana Cangkamana. You know what is Cangkamana? The walking meditation one. The path for walking meditation. They call Cangkamana. Ratana is jewel. Jewel Cangkamana. And pace up and down for another week. Oh, walking meditation for 1 week. You can do. That was how he cleared it out. Because he used a lot of these devas, these higher being, they want to see psychic one, but they themselves are very good at psychic also. So you can have better psychic than them. Then they believe you. Then the fourth week, he spent in the jewel chamber, Ratana is jewel, Gara, contemplating the intricacy of Abhidhamma. Then this one Mimi pointed out, at that time there was no Abhidhamma. So actually, he was reflecting on the what they call more intricate teaching, the higher teaching. Of course, they use the book. They say the book state that his mind and body was so purified when he pondered on the book of relation, Patthana. Patthana is one of the Abhidhamma book, the seventh treaty of Abhidhamma. Then six color rays emitted from his body. So you look at the note. Namely, blue, yellow, red, white, and orange. Then the last one is a mixture of all these five colors. They have their Pali words too. So this is in the Tipitaka. Then the fifth week, this one is very interesting. The Buddha enjoyed the bliss of emancipation again. Vimutti Sukha is not bliss, is he went into cessation again. Seated in one posture under the famous Ajapala Bayan tree in the vicinity of the Bodhi tree, when he arose from the transcendental state, a conceited Brahmin approached him, and after the customary salutation and friendly greeting, questioned him thus. So this one is, you know, with a lot of ego on, want to test the Buddha. That's why conceited means very proud. O venerable Gautama, does one become a Brahmana? And what are the conditions that make a Brahmana? So this was a question that he wanted to test the Buddha. Then the Buddha uttered another paean of joy in reply. This one is very profound. This one I think Chong Lim and Mimi did some homework. If you read alone, I don't think you can understand. The Buddha's paean of joy is that Brahmin who has discarded evil. Just how Chong Lim described that. Discarded evil means what? Incapable of evil anymore, understand? That's why you have to follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil. When you are incapable of evil, means you have discarded all evil. Then without conceit, see? Without conceit means what? No more ego, no more self-delusion. Then free from defilement. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But once you are without conceit, you will be free of the evil roots. Then self-control means self-restraint, is not control. That form and mind connected with that wisdom and understanding will know what to do. It has the self-control. It cannot become heedless again. It cannot do the foolish thing anymore. Then he is well-versed in knowledge. The word is wrong, in understanding the truth, which is wisdom. And who has led the holy life rightly. Holy life rightly means he has good conduct, upright conduct, dutiful conduct, wise conduct. The four requisite, prerequisite of a noble disciple of the Buddha. That would call himself a Brahmin or a Brahmana. For him, there is no elation anywhere in this world. Means finally, they will realize Nibbana, will not be born again. Then according to the Jataka commentary, it was during this week that the daughter of the Mara, you know, who is this Mara? You don't know who is this Mara. This is the king of all Mara. Come and tempt you. He got three very beautiful, very seductive daughters. And their name, funny, you know, he put their Tangha, Arati, and Raga. Raga is lust. Tangha is desire, craving. Arati, I don't know what is that. Who knows this word? Arati. What is Arati? Must be linked to desire and lust. Something that can lure you on, stimulate you. So he was tested by the three daughters of the king of Mara. But they make a vain attempt to tempt the Buddha by their charm. Because through his enlightenment, through his realization, all this can never tempt them anymore. I remember Ajahn Buddhadasa, Ajayantra's teacher, Samok. He was the abbot of Samok, founder of Samok. Samok means garden of liberation. Yeah. I remember I read his book. And when I was there, I visited his temple 3 times, I remember, with my wife, my family. Hmm. He liked to use this word. He said, after you realize Nibbana, enlightenment and all things, he said, you can never be tempted anymore. Is it? He used this word, no, even Miss Universe walk by you, you will never even have any arising of lust or desire or what. No way, he said. So that's why the king of Mara, the 3 daughters, Tanha, Arati and Raga, has got no power over him. So under the note, the 3 cannot be personified. Passion, as the incident took place after the enlightenment. Yeah. So this is the note. Okay. So this is the 5th week. He was tempted. Then we go to the 6th week. Just now they also mentioned this. From the Ajapalabhayan tree, the Buddha proceeded to the Mucchalinda tree, where he spent the 6th week again enjoying the bliss of liberation or emancipation. At that time, there arose an unexpected, very great shower. Actually, it was very heavy thunderstorm. It's not a shower. Rain cloud and gloomy weather with cold wind prevailed for seven days. Thereupon, Mucchalinda, the serpent king, the Naga king, cannot be a human being. The Vinaya text also cited an interesting story of a serpent who assumed the form of a human, lived for some time as a bhikkhu in Rome. So this one is a serpent king. Came out of his abode and coiled round the body of the Buddha 7 times, remained keeping his large the serpent head, they call it the hoof, over the head of the Buddha, so that he may not be affected by the weather or elements. So when this serpent king coil around the body of the Buddha is to protect the form, but the physical form is very fragile, like I told you. So it helped to prevent the extreme weather from causing any harm to the body. Then at the close of the 7th day, Mucchalinda, seeing the clear cloudless sky, uncoiled himself from around the body of the Buddha, and leaving his own form, took the guise of a young man and stood in front of the exalted one with clasped hand. Thereupon, the Buddha uttered this paean of joy. That's why he taught this serpent king out of gratitude. He said, happy is seclusion to him who is contented. Just how Chong Lim, they did some research. They also have this first one, contentment. So happy is seclusion to him who is contented. If you have contentment, you can live a life in seclusion. You don't need anybody. To him who has heard the truth, just now Chong Lim also mentioned this. And to him who see, Mimi also mentioned this, the direct seeing when Mimi took over that time. He explained. Happy is goodwill in this world. Means there is a lot of friendliness, a lot of loving kindness, a lot of compassion, a lot of all those virtues. Then later on he added in this one, and so is restraint towards all being, means you will never harm or kill or cause any suffering or misery to any beings or living things. Happy in this world is non-attachment. All this points toward non-suffering. The passing beyond of sense desire. You know how to develop it in there. How to pass beyond sense desire. Actually, got it. Able to detach, but you must have wisdom. Understand or not? Means what? Yeah? Remember what I shared with you or not? I better write it down. Ayo, 10:20 already. You see, your sense desire, As I truly say, the real understanding is non-attachment. She used the word detachment. Non-attachment, detachment means when there is good food, when there is condition for it, you can have it, understand? There is not craving. Don't be stupid, understand? You dare not eat, you pass to me, I eat. But if you got no chance to eat and saw somebody eat and get angry, that is attachment. Then, if let's say every time you go, they offer to you, then the next time you go, by some reason or what, they don't offer to you, then you become miserable. That is attachment. Yeah, you crave for it. You want it. You expect people to offer and give. That's why you think you enlightened. Initially, a lot of maybe follower, then, wow, they treat you so well. Then one day, nobody pay attention to you. That is the test. So, sense desire is something that you have to understand. The desire comes from your craving, understand? You understand? So, to be free from sense desire, you have to have wisdom. That's why without wisdom, you cannot free from sense desire. Without wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. And you will have craving to want things your way. That's why you cannot detach. The word detach is, like they say, let go. Who let go? The person who is holding, try to let go. How can he let go? In the first place, if he is not deluded, he will not hold, understand or not? Then no need to let go. But because he hold, he practice letting go. Is it possible? It's impossible, understand? Because you hold due to delusion, understand? You can see or not? When you practice detachment, how can you practice detachment? If you don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience, which is yoniso manasikara, which Mimi mentioned, you cannot deal with that moment. Immediately upon contact, not only feeling arise, feeling immediately condition craving. But if you have wisdom at the moment of sense experience, yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense, then it ceases to be. Feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not become craving. Because the phenomenal has lost its ability to deceive you and delude you. And you know, these are all not real. That's why all the Mara, the daughter of the King of Mara, also got no power over the Buddha. But you will know this form of mind is not you. Yes, the mic. Pass the mic. Oh, okay. Yeah. Correct. You want to... it's non-attachment. That is the right word. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Chui learned very fast. Sadhu to her. So... she changed the word to non-attachment. So you don't practice detachment. You don't practice letting go. You develop wisdom so that you will not attach. So that is non-attachment. So that's why you say it's a bad word. Not bad word. Bad word is foul language. It's an inappropriate word. It's not such a proper or appropriate word. A wrong word, yes, better. Yeah, it's a wrong word to use. Okay, good. So we will finish off, then we will choose our next weeks. We still got a 7 week to go. I have to go faster. The suppression of the I am. This one is, again, a wrong word. A very, very inappropriate word. How can you suppress the I am? Suppress means what? Yan. Still there, you know. Not rooted out, you know. So you shouldn't use the word the suppression of the I am, the relinquishment of the sakayadity or self delusion means you awaken to this delusion. You are no longer deluded. So the relinquishment, not the suppression of the I am. Conceit, which is the I am, or the ego, is indeed the highest bliss. You will realize enlightenment. You will realize a cessation. Okay, then the 7th week. The 7th week, the Buddha peacefully passed at the Rajayatana tree, experiencing again the bliss of emancipation, means Vimutti Sukham. Then this is a famous verse. Remember in the Dhammapada also, I think verse 153, 154, if I'm not wrong. One of the first utterance of the Buddha upon his enlightenment is, through many above in existence had I wandered in samsara, seeking but not finding the house builder. Sorrow indeed is repeatable. O house builder, thou hast been seen. Thou shalt build no house again. For all thy rafter are broken. Thy ridge pole is shattered. So the ridge pole is the top piece that holds all the rafter. You remember your roof is a inverted V. You know what is an inverted V or not? V tebalik. That is your roof. So all the sloping one, the beam, is called rafter. They sit on a ridge pole. There is a centerpiece, long one, very long one, longitudinal. There is a ridge pole. So your rafter has been broken. Ridge pole shattered, no? Means nothing to hold the rafter anymore. No? And the rafter also broken. No? So he said, the mind has realized the unconditioned, not attained. The word is again a wrong word or inappropriate word. The mind realize the unconditioned. Achieve is the end of craving. Means you realize the empty nature of existence, the non-self. Everything is anatta, not a permanent and changing entity. So at dawn, on the very day of his enlightenment, the Buddha uttered this paean of joy. See? At the dawn of the very day of his enlightenment, this was his first utterance, which vividly describes his transcendental moral victory and his inner spiritual experience. The Buddha admits his past wandering in existence or samsara, which entails suffering, a fact that evidently proved the belief of in rebirth. He was compelled to wander and consequently to suffer, as he could not discover the architect that built the house, which is the physical body. In his last birth or final birth, while engaged in solitary meditation, which he had highly developed in the course of his wandering, after a relentless search, he discovered by his own initiative or intuitive wisdom the elusive architect, residing not outside but within the recesses of his own heart. It was craving or attachment, a self-creation, a mental element latent to all. This was what Chong Lim described, you remember? When you don't have this understanding, you will come back to samsara and suffer for aeons and aeons of repeated birth. But the moment you realize that understanding which leads to the rooting out of defilement, self-delusion, ignorance, then your mind can liberate, and that's how you're free. It was craving or attachment, a self-creation, a mental element latent in all. How and when this craving originated is incomprehensible. What is created by oneself can be destroyed by oneself. The discovery of the architect is the eradication of craving by realizing arahantship, which in this verse is alluded to as the end of craving. The rafter of this self-created house are the passion, which is your craving, your desire, your greed, such as attachment, they call it lobha, then dosa, which is your ill will, envy, jealousy, aversion, anger, hatred, then illusion, which is moha. Moha is self-delusion, self-conceit, false view, doubt, sloth and torpor. All these are the 10 fetters, moral shamelessness, moral fearlessness. The ridgepole that support the rafter represent ignorance, the root cause of all delusion or craving, passion. The shattering of the root pole, ridgepole of ignorance by wisdom result in the complete demolition of the house, means it end birth and death. The ridgepole and rafter are the material with which the architect built this undesired house. With their destruction, the architect is deprived of the material to rebuild the house, which is not wanted. With the demolition of the house, the mind, for which there is no place in the analogy, attains the unconditioned. It's not a state, unconditioned, which is nibbana. Whatever that is mundane is left behind, and only the supramundane state can be realized. Nibbana is different. The supramundane state, you know what is there now? Beyond the mundane, that is your true nature, your true mind. When your five aggregate form and mind is connected to the true mind, the true nature, there is this pure mind which we call the supramundane mind. It's no more the heedless thinking mundane mind. It's another mind. But that one, only those who walk the Bodhisattva way can have that type of supramundane mind, because the mundane mind will collapse. If your mundane mind don't collapse, it cannot shine forth, it cannot arise. Okay, so we finished chapter 4, very good. Okay, now we come to the nomination. Who want to volunteer next Tuesday? It can be one person or two person after you all. Anybody want to volunteer? Brother Tim looking at Pama Suri, I think. Come on, we need volunteer. Otherwise, we will nominate. I give Mimi and Chong Lim the power to nominate, but they have just done it. It's good. You will learn. So you nominate Mimi. Or Chong Lim also can. You just pick, they will do. Use the mic.
Who want to try? It's not really that difficult, actually.
In order to give you confidence, you just prepare whatever, then you read from the text, like how I read, then try to explain. Is that difficult? You don't have to be like me, we prepare a chart. No need. Understand? Follow the text. But you have to read up and do some research and understand it. Otherwise, you read without understanding, then how are you going to explain? But if you don't know, don't worry. Just say you don't know. At this part, I don't know. Like just now, the word arati. I don't know means I tell you I don't know. Understand? Yun Chan looking at me. I think you got a candidate there. Chapter 5. You don't have the book? I lend you my book. I lend you my book. Don't worry, you take back. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a new chapter. It's an interesting chapter. Oh, invitation to expound Dhamma. No. Yun-chan, that is your piece of cake. No need whole chapter. Wherever you want to stop, you can just stop. Then we can discuss. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got the book or not? You can take mine. But my wife still got one more here. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he got to prepare. What do you mean by don't use the book? Oh, in the internet. Oh, then you get from Chui where the internet. I lend you this book, don't worry.
I can read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I prefer reading
the book. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can have it, don't worry. Huh? Then like maybe next week bring. Yeah, I need to use it to read after that. Okay, we have our candidate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we will share merit, transfer merit, then we will end. Then you can have your whatever supper. With today, a lot of offering. A lot of food. I forgot a choice here. We should nominate Joyce. Next one, after you, Jan. Next candidate. Yeah, this week, not so appropriate. We have the mother-in-law just have the funeral the week. And she's tired. But next week after Yun Chan on, I think she will be ready. Okay. So let us share merits. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan bedeva anumodantu sapasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem, then we can end. Betang pujami, damang pujami, sanghang pujami. Okay.
My husband would like to express his thanks of condolences and also the kind generosity that you all have shown. Unfortunately, today he's not in the right state of mind to be here. So I'm representing his family. Thank you very much.
Also remember to pay for the 10 ringgit. May... So you all can...